Cyndi Lauper and Time After Time. Talking time, can you even believe that it was 25 years ago this week that women were first ordained as priests or vicars in the Church of England? 25 years.
Bristol Cathedral was packed for today's historic ceremony, bringing an end to the Church of England's exclusively male priesthood. Angela Berners-Wilson was the first to come forward for the laying on of hands.
Send down the Holy Spirit upon your servant Angela for the office and work of a priest in your church.
It was an overwhelming experience, but a super experience too.
There's a new springtime for the Church of England, and I just hope that those who are unhappy will gradually come to see that this is the right way forward.
25 years ago this week, previously women could serve as deaconesses or deacons, but that was as far as they could go, leading some services and preaching, but they couldn't celebrate Holy Communion. And among the first women to be ordained in 1994 was the Reverend Canon Pat Lise Wilsdon. And Pat was the first, but not the last, woman in the family to get the calling. Her daughter Ruth was ordained in 2012. A mum and daughter with me now. Hello, good morning.
Good
I feel
morning.
Very hard done by. I'm the only one in the building without a dog collar on, like underdressed or warm, darling. So let me start with you then, Pat. I need to sort of step back because I can't believe that it was 25 years ago. But obviously that was the almost the ending of a story that went back so much further, wasn't it? The efforts and the frustration of trying to get that.
When people say to me 25 years of women's ministry, I always remind them there'd been women's ministry right since the beginning of the church, but women had been serving, as you so rightly said, as deacons, as deaconesses. My own story was 7 years as a deacon before I was ordained priest, but there were women for long before me, and there were women who died or who were too old by the time the priesting came in to be able to be included. So we were very, very privileged, and it was a very joyful occasion.
Yes. I mean, I remember growing up and hearing a female priest speaking, but that was in the Methodist church. So it was interesting that, you know, that there were different parts of the church had different rules at different times. But this was something that was a long time coming and was controversial. Not everybody was happy about it. And there will be possibly some people listening who are still not happy about it. Were you, you know, how long did it take for you to feel, OK, this is what I want to do, and I believe this is absolutely the right thing?
Well, do you know, like a bit like you, I grew up in the Baptist church. And when I was 7, I can remember saying to an elderly aunt, I'd like to be a minister when I grow up, but I can't, can I, because girls can't. When I was 22, I walked out of a service at the Baptist church because there was a female preacher.
You walked out?
I walked out because there was an invited female preacher, and I had been indoctrinated, is the rude word, convinced is the more polite one, that this wasn't a good thing.
Wow.
By the time I was in my late 30s, it came back and got me. But I'm not sure that deciding it that this is what you want to do is actually the appropriate phrase. It was more a question of, once the idea started coming back, I ran away from it for a very long time. And it took that constant nagging feeling over some years before I rather grudgingly said, Well, I suppose if that's your idea, God, I'd better go along with it. So it took me a long time.
How interesting. And that you were actually, you know, so anti at one point. Yep. It's really interesting, isn't it? Let's bring in Ruth at this point, because Ruth is your daughter. You're sort of, you're bookending almost the 25 years, aren't you? Because it was really quite recently that you were ordained.
So I was ordained as deacon in 2011 and then priest as 2012. So I didn't have to do the waiting that Mum had done in many varied ways. Mum had done an immense waiting. And for me and my generation, the thing that actually strikes me most is that the Mum and the women who definitely knew that their calling after many years, after, you know, a lot of thinking, knew that their calling was to priesthood specifically, not a diaconal role, but to priesthood, bearer of the sacraments, that actually to still even go forward and put yourself into a situation where you go through an enormous selection process, you get selected and judged really on your ability on all sorts of aspects of life before you can actually be even sent to train for ordination, let alone then be ordained. The fact that those women still stepped out in faith, in really good faith in God, not knowing that there would ever be a time that they would fulfill their calling, was incredible to me. So when my generation and the people I trained with were standing in the Gloucester Cathedral in 2012, knowing that we were able to stand there because of my mum's generation and the generation that had gone before, was quite mind-blowing, absolutely mind-blowing. But like Mum, you know, I tried to run away from it. I was a primary school teacher for 10 years, then a social worker for 3 years, trying to run away from God and saying, actually, I don't want to do this. Leave me alone. Go away. Yeah. I had also watched your mum,
yeah,
go through some really rather tough horrific, times. Tough times in ministry because of the anti-women aspect that is still out there. People say to me, oh, you have a woman bishop now in Bishop Rachel, and therefore the women issue is done. We still have parishes in this diocese who are not under her authority because they will not have a woman. That is the accepted position in the Church of England now, is that women do have a call to the priesthood, and that the Church of England will ordain women to the priesthood. But we also reach out in grace and graciousness as much as possible to those who have a different view of things.
Take a break and we'll come back and talk more with the two of you in just a moment. Looking at the roads for us, you know, that there's always that phrase, isn't it? We plan, God laughs. There's sort of a sense of like, thank you.
Share your travel news.
Call 0800 121 7575.
BBC Radio Gloucestershire.
You're listening to Anna King. We'll hear more then from Ruth and Pat, a mother and daughter, sort of bookending the 25 years since women first became priests and ordained in the Church of England. One of the first and one of the much more recent additions then, but all in one family. That's to come. I'm like a bird. And there are 5,950 women now in ordained ministry in the Church of England. 30% of clergy are women, and 319 women began training for ordination last year. That's a 38% increase over the 2 years before. It's 25 years ago this week that women were first ordained as priests or vicars in the Church of England, and one of the very first was Pat, that's the Reverend Canon Pat Lies Wilsdon, and but not the last in her family, because then the calling that Ruth said had really first started almost in childhood. She said, all right, I'll do it, and she was ordained then in 2012. So yes, I've got a studio where I'm the only person not wearing a dog collar at the moment. So Pat, for you then, once you had achieved, you know, this goal, this calling, and you had been ordained, What did you find was the hardest challenge for you once that was out of the way?
I guess the hardest bit once we got there was that there was still a certain amount of opposition around and a certain sense of this is a bit provisional, so prove yourself. You know, that feeling that women in a lot of professions will talk about, that sense that you are carrying every single woman, that if a male priest did something wrong or messed something up, it would just be John or Bill or Jack messed that up. If a woman priest did, it would be we're never having another woman. So there was that. And there was also the sense that you were being allowed in to play with the big boys, but you had to be one of them. You were constantly watching to make sure that you weren't being too female. And I don't mean by that stereotyped versions of feminine. I just mean female, which was odd because one of the arguments for women's ordination had always been we need the gifts of women in ministry as well as the gifts that men bring. Some of that was positive, some of it you wanted to stop and say, hang on, which woman are we talking about? Which man are we talking about? Let's not be stereotyped. But a lot of it was a positive recognition of the fact that women would bring different gifts. But then there was the sense that once we were there, are we allowed to express those gifts? Or do you have to do things in the same way that a man would do in order not to scare people that all these women are changing the church completely?
Don't rock the boat.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for you then, Ruth, by the time that you were ordained, I mean, what's been the best thing about this, you know, calling that you sort of avoided or tried to duck from for so long, you say?
It's a really hard thing to explain, but I remember on the day I was ordained priest, standing in Gloucester Cathedral, and in that moment, it was Bishop Michael Perham, who's sadly died now, but it wasn't in the moment that I was ordained. It was in the moment that he anointed me for blessing. He anointed my hands with oil, and it was in that moment that all I can describe it as is the circle became complete. Every single thing that I had striven for in life was just suddenly there in that moment, and I knew what my place was in life. I knew who I was and who I was in the sight of God. Now, just because I'm a woman doesn't mean that that calling wasn't as complete as it was for the men I trained with. And that's, I suppose, that's been the most fantastic thing for me. Yes, I have come up against people who won't work with me because I'm a woman in leadership. I have come up with people who do not want to, you know, be in my church because I'm a woman vicar. That's their decision. But I cannot at any level say that my calling is wrong just because I am a woman. You cannot feel something like that and know yourself to be wrong. That's not a possibility. So the best thing for me has been, you know, echoing Mum, to be the woman that I was most intended to be. And yeah, I have pink in my hair now.
Yes, you do.
Mum wouldn't. You know, Mum would never have been able to do that. I can get away with wearing drop earrings. I can get away with wearing high heels and short skirts. But it's not about what you wear. It's about who you are on the inside. And actually, yes, maybe I'm more emotional than some others in ministry. But that's not, I'm not more emotional than a man. I'm more emotional than some other human beings who are in ministry. So sometimes, yes, I do stand behind the altar and I will cry, because actually it's about loving God's people and having God on my heart for those people and those people on my heart for God. And in that moment, when you're celebrating the Eucharist, it honestly feels like flying. I can't describe it any other way. It really feels like flying. To deny people their calling just because based on their gender and their sexuality is, in my view, completely wrong. And that is not God given. That is not what God is asking of us in this world at this time. He's asking for us to celebrate all the gifts and talents that everybody brings to our community and to our world. And if we don't, then we become extraordinarily divided, divisive, filled with hate, and, you know, not contrite hearts, which, as we're in the middle of Lent, is what he's asking for us. Contrite hearts means being able to put your own needs to one side relatively to enable us to love our neighbour as ourselves.
How do people react when they see you with dog collars on? I just want to know. This must be a conversation starter, or is it a conversation stopper when you're in the street or you're in the town or something?
Well, are you a stripper has been asked. Are you going to a fancy dress party?
Are you the vicar or the tart?
Are you the vicar or the tart? Yeah. All of those things have been asked, and they have been answered as graciously as possible. It's are you a real vicar?
Yeah.
Gets asked a lot.
And there's the question, there's the answer. Yes, we are. It's lovely to meet you both. Thank you very much for coming in and talking to us. 25 years. Who can believe that?